Good morning, everybody. Is so good to be here in Aransas Pass with each and every one of you. I'd like to add to all of those that have been thanking everyone for the work that they do. Thanking, starting with Mr. Ledbetter, Mr. Forgot his name. He's a good friend of mine. He's over there somewhere. Oh. He'll hit me later. But I also want to thank each and every one of you because I know you're here and you're probably helping someone that came with you or someone from your congregation or you're helping some of your family members. Each and every one of us are here to serve each other. Isn't that right? Absolutely. My title of my message today is Welcome to the Family. Are we living up to the family name? My wife and her sister both enjoy times when they get together and they discuss family genealogy. They both do a little bit of research into their families to find out the history of where they came from. Their passion for their genealogy has led them to spend countless hours of just talking about their where they came from and where their families are and who their friends of those families are. I was afraid he's going to come up here and hit me now. I picked on you a little bit and you weren't here to hear it. But whether they're tracing their ancestors across the continents or across the United States, there are interesting stories to learn from each and every one of our families in the past. Isn't that right? Listening to the conversations between my wife and her sister about family members from earlier generations consistently offers meaningful insights to where they came from and how they became to be the persons that they are. These discussions not only unveil and reveal stories of things that their families went through, the things that they experienced in their lives, the highlights of their traditions that they lived by, their values, their beliefs. And it formed who they are, who we are, if we look back. The sharing of these memories and anecdotes from our past help us to explain some of our own personal motivations sometimes. It helps us to explain things that we don't understand, why we do things the way we do them sometimes, overcoming challenges, and the reasons why we have a certain opinions or perspectives on certain things. By understanding the history and relationships with our previous families and even our current family, it becomes possible for us to appreciate the different ways individuals can begin to connect with their roots and embrace their heritage. Now remember these points. To learn more about the origins, another thing that my wife and her sister did was had their DNA tested. To learn more about exactly who their relatives were and what their origins were and where they came from. Any of you had that done? Had your DNA done and you find out what country you're really from? Been told my whole life that I have a Scottish heritage. And then we found out I'm pretty much about 90% German. No wonder I like everything to be in order and in place where it should be. And if it gets out of that place, it messes up my head. So understanding these relationships in our history helps us to understand who we are. It helps us to understand the roots of what we come from so that we can embrace that heritage. My aunt spent some time examining my family, the Dove side of the family. And then I had, after my grandfather died, my mother received a packet that was it had in that packet documentation giving her some meaningful information about his heritage. Most of our families, as we found, lived pretty ordinary lives, went through the same struggles that we go through every day. And there was some also found that there was probably a little bit of a checkered background. on both sides of my mom's side of the family and my dad's. I won't detail a lot of that, but I'll mention some of it. But exploring this ancestry revealed that, like many families, ours includes stories of both hardship and resilience. These varied experiences not only shed light on the complexities of our past, but also help explain the motivations and values that have been passed down through generations in our families. In my message today, I want to compare the importance of upholding a family name. And I want to compare the physical family name that we live by and the difference in upholding the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father, focusing on the challenges that we face every day, the blessings that we can receive for living up to that name, and the eternal rewards of living as a Christian in God's family. We have come here to assemble before God in a place where He has put His name. And we are here as His representatives to mark the upcoming millennium. The atmosphere here has been filled with anticipation as we've come together and we look forward to what this pictures for us. We've joined together in singing of music and praise to God. We reflect on the times we've had in the past, but we also look forward to that time in that 1,000-year period where we know that Christ has returned, as we saw on the Feast of Trumpets. We know that Satan has now been bound and put away in the bottomless pit so that he no longer has an effect on the way people think in the world. And we know that we are here to picture that 7-day period of time, that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ without the influence of Satan. And we are going to be there as a part of the family of God, helping and working with our older brother, Jesus Christ. This period after Christ returns marks the start of the final stage in the founding of God's kingdom on this earth. Growing up in the church, I think back to remember my first feast. I was only 3 years old, and I have very, very vague memories. I don't remember the feast itself. But every once in a while, I have this dream where I'm laying in a train, on the bed of a train, in a train, looking out the window and watching the world go by. And I was telling my mom about that one time and told my dad about it. And they told me, well, yeah, we came home from your first feast when you were 3 years old, and you slept most of the time, but you were on the bed looking out the window of the train. So that's all I remember of my first feast. We were in Squaw Valley, is what I was told, but we came back to Texas after the feast. But my father, throughout his life, taught me to live God's way. But we need to provide guidance for our children as they begin to mature. And as I matured, my father continued to teach me. It is essential to uphold. He made me understand that it was essential and important to uphold the family name. And he was referring to the Dove family name, of course, but he also used those same principles to let me know that we must live up to the family of God's name. We should never do anything to bring shame upon the family name because of the damage that that can do. So, what is the significance of representing our family name for both you and me? My awareness of my family name was very important to me because my father set a great example of what it took to give of himself to his family, not only to his physical family, but in the church, he gave to those that needed help. He gave his of himself. We weren't rich and didn't have a lot of money, so he didn't give him a lot of money, but he was always there to help and work or do something for people in the church. And let us see him do that and actually got to help him do that so that we could learn the service and the giving of ourselves to our family. He showed us how to work hard and to care for others in need. I have experienced both working alongside my father and my grandfather at the same time. It was very important to understand for me that both men, my father and my grandfather, worked very hard to take care of us as his family, as their family. And based on what I've been told, I never met my great grandfather, Dove, but what my grandfather and father told me was he was pretty much the same. He was a migrant rancher or farm worker. He moved wherever there was work to be done, oftentimes having to leave the family behind, but had to do it because it was in the time of the early Depression. He had to go and find work to support his family, and he worked very hard to do it. So he again was a very good example to look up to as I look back on my family history. Two generations before mine were men that served their families and their communities. But the story gets a little different at that point. The family name is often passed down and shaped not only by the good things that we do, but oftentimes we remember the bad things too, don't we? The flaws that happened. Three generations before, my family name took a turn for the bad. And my great great grandfather, that was ahead of the last one that I knew that was a very hard worker, had to try to overcome things that his father did. Anyone that met him knew of his father and what he had done. And he had to live that down because you see, my great 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 grandfather, the father of Monroe Dove, was named Jacob. He left his family behind to chase after a woman of somewhat ill repute. And when he discovered other men liked him, he killed one of those men. And he ended up going to prison and eventually being hanged for it. And then his son, Monroe Dove, everywhere he went, had to face the fact that that was his father because people did not let him forget that. So it is important if we are going to live up to the name that we are supposed to live up to, we must represent it in a positive way. It is likely that every one of us that are gathered here recognize the expectation to uphold the reputation associated with the family name that we are going to become and are becoming. As God's chosen children, we have a reputation to uphold, right? We have a reputation that we must learn to uphold. Are we meeting that standard? Well, don't feel bad because none of us are there yet. But that's why we're here. We are learning to be a part of God's family so that we can be the ones that future generations search the genealogy and look back to us and those before us that have lived the same way and become a part of God's family. The third commandment addresses the use of the name of God. It indicates the significance placed on this name within this context. We express love for God through honor, obedience, and worship. An important way to show respect for God is as follows in Exodus 20 and verse 7, and you'll recognize Exodus 20 as the Ten Commandments. And verse 7 has the third commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And oftentimes when we read that, we think, okay, well, I'll be careful what I say. I won't use God's name in place and consistently and cursing or whatever. I won't use it that way. Well, that's good, and that's part of what this is. But if you and I are taking on God's name as He has called us to be a part of His family, then we must learn to live according to the way he wants us to live. The third commandment relates to our relationship with God. He has called each and every one of us, and he has chosen us out of this world at this time, and he has chosen to place his name on us. And if we don't represent that name well, we are taking his name in vain. The third commandment relates to our relationship with God. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. We've heard that this week already. Do you believe it? The Lord God knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Are we truly reflecting the one within us, making the most of what his name offers, and living as God's children? I know that we can think in our minds, as we think about what our church goes through, what we go through as a congregation, what other congregations go through, what other churches claiming to be the church of God, and we're not here to judge them in any way. But God seems to have said, okay, kids, if you can't get along, you go play in that corner. You go play in that corner. I'm still working with you until you can get along and represent me in the right way. Romans 2. Romans 2. Are we truly reflecting God's name in the way that we live as God's children? Romans 2, verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? If we go and study the Bible and we learn something, what's the first thing we should do? We should examine ourselves and look inside. Are we applying that to us? Or are we studying that and thinking, oh, Joe over there, he needs to change this. And oh, Sally over there, she needs to change this. No, are we studying this word so that we can learn it? Let's read through this. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? Are we being hypocritical? Do we claim to be in the family of God, but nobody could tell it by looking at us? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. If we do not live according to God's name and what he tells us to do, we blaspheme his name. And others see our example, and then we cause them to blaspheme his name. If these values are not reflected in our individual behavior, we are not meeting the expectations aligned with the Christian name, with the Christian designation that we claim to be. It is important to recognize that actions should correspond with the principles and beliefs that we profess. Upholding consistent behavior demonstrates genuine commitment to one's faith and helps foster trust and integrity within this family. My family is recognized by the dove name. Which is associated with a particular reputation. Depending on how well you know me, or you may know my father, you may have even known my grandmother years ago. You may have known my mom. You may have also known other people, some of my brothers, sisters, whatever. And you may look at me and say, well, I see him because of what somebody, one of my other family members did or didn't do. So it's either with positive attributes that we recognize someone, or sometimes with negative ones within the family, as demonstrated by an account discovered during a genealogy research of my family, as we talked about earlier. You look back and you find those little black sheep things that happened, those negative things that happened. My name, though, like many others, does not correspond with the traditional significance often associated with other names. I, like you, I hope, are making a change and being made a part of a different family, turning away from that old way, the way we were, putting away those bad things and those reputations which are hard to overcome. We are here to make a change. We are here to learn how to make that change. And as my father, as I told you, he taught me, and we acknowledge the significance of having an upright name that aims to adopt a lifestyle distinct from previous generations. We want to live differently. And I want to talk to the kids a little bit. Parents, are they listening? Pay attention. Our children interact within our family and within this society. First responsibility of parents is to teach those kids, to give them an example by the way they live. And then it moves to those in the church family. How do you act in front of other people's children? They're watching you, right, kids? You see things, right? You know if someone's telling you something and they believe it. As we heard previously somewhere in one of our discussions here or something, oftentimes we do something in the past, we make mistakes, and then we try to teach our kids, don't do what I did. So we need to be living in a way when our kids are watching us, and make sure we understand that they are watching us. They are looking, and they will begin to act like we do. They will inherently assume the identity and responsibilities connected to what we give them. My aspiration is that they embody the principles of the true surname of Christian, that my children learn to live that way as I live my example for them. Our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ looking down on us and saying they are pleased with the family. In many aspects, I'm sure they are. But I know that they're looking and saying there's still some things that they can improve, and that's why we're here. They're here to teach us and to help us to learn. So are we meeting the expectations associated with our new family name? We as individuals who identify as Christians are entrusted with upholding the principles that are associated with the name of God the Father, and live as Jesus Christ lived when he came to this earth and gave us the example. It is their duty to embody the honor of this identity through their actions and conduct. The greatest joy of all is that we are empowered to live up to that name. We don't do it by ourselves. We are supported to walk in recognition of that name. And this comes through the very Spirit of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, which reminds us of that name and the meaning of that name always. Do we listen for that? If we're walking and we get a little bit out of the path that we're supposed to be walking on. And God uses His Spirit to remind us that we should be living up to His name. Do we hear that? God's Holy Spirit gives us direction in our lives daily. That helps us to walk in a manner that is a blessing to the wonderful family name that we are adopted into. As we live the name Christian, what is it that we can expect to happen to us? Well, first of all, I'll give you the bad news first. It's not fun, but it can be, and it will be, and we'll get to that. But first of all, the reality is that it's not easy to live up to the name of God and be called Christian. First thing that happens when we take on the name of and the family name of Jesus Christ and God the Father, we will be hated and persecuted, even by our own family, blood family, sisters and brothers, moms and dads. We will be hated. We'll be persecuted because Jesus was hated and persecuted. Let's go to John 15. John 15. We'll start in verse 18. Christ tells us and reminds us in verse 18 of John 15, if you were hated by the world, keep in mind that I was hated by the world before you. If you were of the world, you would be loved by the world. But because you are not of the world, but I have taken you out of the world, you are hated by the world. Verse 20, keep in mind the words I said to you, a servant is not greater than the Lord than his Lord. If they were cruel to me, they will be cruel to you. And they kept my words, they will keep yours. If they kept my words, they will keep yours. Verse 21, they will do all of this to you because of my name. You have taken my name, and they will hate you because they have no knowledge of him who sent me. At times, we might encounter hardship, humiliation, public humiliation because of our association with his name. I've recently met some new people that are coming to church, only been coming a few months. And it's a very good challenge, great challenge for them. They wanted to come to the feast, and they're here. But the challenge that Satan gave them was all of the things you can imagine. Seems like everything went wrong. Car broke down, housing fell through, different things. But you know what? They're here. We can encourage them and let them understand that, yeah, because you're joining this and God is calling you this and calling you to this and he wants to place his name on you, Satan is fighting, fighting, fighting and trying to scare you away. He does not want you to join this organization. He does not want you to take on the name of God. At times we might encounter hardship and humiliation. But such experiences could involve social ostracism, criticism from others, and even exclusion from certain groups and activities. It happens at work a lot. People have groups and things they want to get into, but they don't want you to be there because, you know, you're too nice, or you just don't agree with them all the time. The suffering we endure may challenge our resilience. And it will test our convictions. But it also offers an opportunity for growth, to strengthen us. It's like the weightlifter that lifts more weight, more weight, more weight, challenging himself, or the runner that runs farther and faster and more and more and more, to strengthen themselves, to give themselves the pain they need, to remind them that they can still do more. despite these challenges, remaining steadfast can also inspire others and contribute to the sense of solidarity among those who share similar beliefs. We can share these times of trial with one another. We can feel the pain of others. We've all been through it. We all still go through it because Satan is never going to give up. And as we go through these things and how we stay resilient going through them, people will see that and they'll say, I want to be like that. And I want to be a fa in this family just like that. We don't have time today to go and read a whole section of Acts that I originally wanted to do. So I'll give you an assignment. Go to the book of Acts. Study about the early Church of God. Learn about the trials that they went through in the first church. People trying to kill them, putting them on trial, martyring them, killing people like Stephen, the deacon, when he preached a sermon and they didn't like what he had to say. Especially go to Acts 5. We're not going to turn there now, as I said, but take the time to go and learn what they had to go through and know that they made it through. They finished the race. They faced the challenges using God's help through His Spirit. They won. And now they wait, just like we will be waiting for Jesus Christ's return to welcome us all into that family. As you study this section, you're going to find out that it's not a very positive feeling, but it will be. It will be. Because wait, there's more. I want to give you some positives now, and we're going to go through the rest of this time thinking about the good things that come from taking on the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Because living up to our new family name brings benefits. So here are some of the advantages of having the name of God placed on you. First of all, we will have the authority to we have we actually have the authority to become children of God, born of God, and to be called by His name. To prove that, we can go to John 1. John 1, we'll read verses 11 through 13. Verse 11 of John 1, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. Okay, remember that? Jesus Christ came to his own family and they rejected him. Remember, that's what we said would happen, right? But think of this, but all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You and I have to accept him. We have to accept the call that God is giving us to his son to become like him. If we accept that call and we take on his name, we have the right to become the children of God. Verse 13, they are reborn. We are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Another benefit is that it's through his family name that we are given salvation. We are saved by his name. Acts 4 and verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, and no other is there, in no other is there salvation, for there is no other name under heaven given among men through which we may have salvation. No other way. There's one way, and that is to accept the offer that God is giving you. To put his name on you and that you live up to that name. Another benefit is that we are called to be holy. and sanctified through the name of Jesus Christ. We are set apart. We are to be separate from the world. We are sanctified by the name of Jesus Christ. Another thing is we are healed. We are healed by the name of Jesus Christ. When you're anointed, we go to God and we ask Him to heal us. And the elder lays hands on us, takes the oil, lays hands on us, and asks God to heal us. It's because we are His family. Acts 3, verse 16, there's an example. There's many examples in the Bible you can go to, but one quick one. Acts 3, 16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know, and you now have, you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. There's many examples just like that one all through the Bible of people being healed. Another thing is blessings come and are given by the name of Jesus Christ. We are blessed, are we not? We have so much more than most people in the world. John 15, verse 15. We've been in John 15 quite a bit this week already. John 15, 15. I'm going to do it from the Bible in basic English because I understand basic English. No longer do I give you the name of servants, because a servant is without knowledge of what his master is doing. I give you the name of friends. I give you the name as if you are one of my brothers and sisters, my friend, my family, because I have given you knowledge of all things which my Father has said to me. Remember, Christ is not hiding anything from us. He has given us everything that the Father has revealed to Him. You do not take me for yourselves, but I took you for myself, and I gave you the work of going about and producing fruit, which will be forever. So that whatever request you make to the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Remember, He's talking about the work that we are supposed to be doing. He's not saying you can go and ask God to let you win the lottery and He'll give it to you. He's saying to go and pray for what His will is, and that is to produce fruit, to teach this world the message that He has taught us, to share that message with them, and then let Him call the ones that He wants. Verse 17, so this is my law for you. Have love for one another. Another benefit is that we become known and identified by His name, and we are given honor. We don't get honor from our families that reject us and the friends that reject us. Where does that honor come from? It comes from the most important place to receive honor. John 17 and verse 6. John 17, verse 6, it says, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they kept your word. Honor comes from God and Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38, Peter replies to answer the question after he'd given the sermon, and the people said, what do we do? What do we do now? They were cut to the heart, remember? When he was telling them what they had done. And Peter says in verse 38 of Acts 2, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized. The name of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another benefit, we are protected by the power of God's name. John 17, verse 11. Again, we've already heard this one a couple of times, this feast. I think God wants us to get a message here. John 17, verse 11, it says, "Now I am departing from this world. They are staying in the world." Remember, Christ is talking to God, the Father, praying on your behalf. "Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are." Another benefit is that we have life, physical life, and also we will have spiritual life in his name. John 20. John 20, verse 31. As humid as it is here, you wouldn't think my mouth would dry up, but it keeps drying up. John 20, verse 31. "But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God that is dwelling in him. You will have life by the power of his name." And that life he's talking about is eternal life. Another benefit is that we are given boldness and strength to speak and do in Jesus' name. We can go before God with boldness because Christ is our mediator and he's there helping us to come before God. He's allowing us to come before God because he knows our experiences and he knows our feelings. And he's helping God to understand. God knows what we go through also, but Christ feels it deeply and shares that with the Father so that we can come with him to him with boldness. Acts 4:20. The early church had a lot of trials, as we talked about. And don't forget, Saul was running around, killing them all, killing a lot of them, beating them, torturing them. In Acts 4:20, as they were learning more and more and more, they got excited and they said, "We cannot stop talking about everything that we have heard, seen, and heard." They had boldness to live that way, even though they were living in this world of criticism and torture and death. And in Acts 9, verse 27, I'm only going to cover the part where Barnabas brings Saul to the people, to the church in Damascus. And they knew who Saul was. And of course, the church, they're very afraid of him. But Barnabas comes with him and tells him the story of what happened. We all know that story. But in verse 27 of Acts 9, it says, "Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus, and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus." Again, the name. Speaking boldly about the family, the new family name. So even no matter how our lives went in the past, the dark horses, the dark sheep, the black sheep that we have in our past. None of us did anything like Saul did we? And yet Saul became a great apostle through the name, by accepting the call and living up to the name that Christ and God had given him. And then one more point real quick. We are given the power to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. Something as simple as our prayers. When we close our prayers, we say in Jesus Christ's name. Because God, we were told to do that in the model prayer. But in John 14, verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. "Truly I say to you, he who puts his faith in me will do the very works which I do. And he will do greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. And whatever request you make in my name, that will I do. I will do. So that the Father may have glory in the Son. If you make any request to me in my name, I will do it. He's telling us that he did a great work when he was here on earth, and now he's leaving us to do that work. And if we trust in him and we go to God and ask him that he show us his will and the work that we need to do, and we do it in Christ's name, he will do it. All of these are incredible benefits to taking on the family name of God and being a part of that family. There are many, many other things that we could cover. We'd be here all night, but I'm hungry and it's time to go eat lunch. So go look it up. Go look them up. Focus on the benefits of being a part of this family. Think of those benefits. And then learn to live up to that name. There are incredible benefits of having the name of Jesus Christ and living under the name of God. And there's even more, so much more that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine. So how about us? How about us? Can we live up to that name? Are we living by the given name of God and Jesus Christ, the family name that we are learning to live? In Matthew 22 and verse 40, Matthew 22 and verse 40, just a little bit more. Christ asserts the proper attitude that we should have towards God. Very familiar scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your entire mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God. Love his name. Love God. Respect him. Honor him. Be obedient to him. Our relationship with him can grow strong and be strong if we follow his instructions, if we respect him, if we are loyal to our family, if we don't go around beating each other up, if we play nicely together, we will grow stronger, and that family will grow stronger. Given the attribution of goodness to God, where it belongs, everything good that happens comes from God. It follows that all positive qualities and their associated names should be regarded as relating to him. We are all blessed for having a proper relationship with God. God intends that we bear his name. He wants us to accept the calling he has chosen us for. He wants us to accept that adoption, to accept that name that he was placed on us. And he wants us to live up to that name. He is there to help us. Remember, he's put his power in us, a piece of it, to learn now, to go through the hardships, the trials, to be resilient, to continue to move forward. It's fun to look back on our family histories, but we need to be looking forward to that future family, the family that we are now in embryo state and a part of. God intends that we bear his name and that we bear it well. Okay, I promise one more scripture, final scripture. Revelation 3. Verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 12. This is our rally cry, our cheering section. God and Jesus Christ telling us, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of God. You'll be there. You'll be a part of it. Live up to his name so that you can be a pillar in the temple of God. And they will never have to leave it. Never. And I will write on them the name of my God. The name again will be written on us. And they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. I don't know about you, but I got hair standing up on the back of my neck right now. I got goosebumps, and I'm really trying hard to hold this in because I'm going to cry here in a minute. The greatest blessing for living up to his name is becoming a part of the God family. It almost seems unreal to us to think about that. But we are to become a part of the God family and living with him forever and ever and ever in his kingdom. It's the reason we are here in Aransas Pass, Texas, where God has placed his name. It is a reward of eternal life.